All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here this morning. We're glad that you have joined us. We've been talking about this movie, War Room. It's still on at the mall, or it was yesterday, so I assume it's still there. But today we're going to finish up our thoughts on prayer. We've been saying to you over and over and over again that prayer in its simplest form is talking with God. I mean, that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking with God, and we want to encourage you in doing that, you know, each and every day. You know, with prayer comes a lot of pressure. Did you know that? That there's a lot of pressure associated with prayer. Pressure to use the right words, pressure to have the right heart, the right desire inside yourself, pressure to have the right amount of time, to have the right desire. Now think about it. Where does that pressure come from? Well, it comes within ourselves, put on us by others. Sometimes that kind of pressure comes from the devil himself, telling you that God is not going to hear you, that God's not going to listen to you, that God doesn't listen to you, and that you are not good enough to be heard by God. He would love nothing better than for us to be ineffective in our prayers, for us to be discouraged, therefore not praying, or doubtful, or distracted in our prayers. But here's the thing, folks. Obviously, we are not perfect in this. And we need to recognize that we don't come to God and speak to Him as our Father in heaven because we're perfect. But we come and to speak to Him because He is our Father, and He loves us that much. Recognize this guy. This is Martin Luther, okay? This isn't your uncle that lives on the other side of town, right? This is Martin Luther. What do we know about Martin Luther? Well, we know that Martin Luther, he nailed 95 theses on the door of a Wittenberg church. These were the 95 things that he thought was wrong with the Catholic Church. You know, Martin Luther, he was the guy that started the Reformation movement, and we certainly have benefited from that today. Martin Luther, he's a great guy. One of the most awesome things about Martin Luther is that I've read, and I think it's true, that he would get up in the morning and he would spend 4 hours in prayer before he did anything else. He would spend 4 hours in prayer before he did anything else. He recognized that this time that he would spend in prayer to God was an important time. Matter of fact, during that 4 hours, he would always pray this prayer at some point during that 4 hour period. He would pray this: I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Isn't that beautiful? That would be, I mean, if we, you know, not 4 hours, but if we would spend time every morning praying that prayer honestly, sincerely to God, our Heavenly Father, you know, how much greater our life and certainly our prayer life would be. You see, we don't do that. We don't recognize that. Matter of fact, you ever heard of Tim Hawkins? I love Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. And he tells the story about how his mother scarred him when he was a little boy by the prayer she taught him to pray when he would go to bed at night. You know, he said that she would come in and she'd say, "Okay, Tim, let's say our prayers." And then she would teach him to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die," and he used to say, he would just cringe, "if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Now, Tim said that after she would teach him this prayer, she'd pat him on the head and she'd say, sleep tight, sweetheart, and she would walk out of the room. And he would lay there, he said, like scared out of his gourd, you know, of maybe God is going to answer this prayer, you know, in some way that he wasn't going to make it through the night. He said, I was 8 years old, right? I mean, sometimes I think that we don't even realize that we have some hang-ups about prayer. And here's what it is. There is so many pressures on us when we pray. And that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here in this passage that we've looked at in lots of different ways over the last 4 weeks. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. If you remember, we talked about that first week about when you pray or when we pray. And that God, Jesus, assumed that people were going to pray. And we certainly do seek the Lord. The second week we talked about where you pray. You know, he said, go into your room, go into your closet, go into that inner space where you are alone and you are praying to God. You know, the third week, last week, we talked about who we pray to, that the most important aspect of prayer is not the things that we pray about, but the person that we pray to, and understanding who God is and how much he loves us. Now, today, we're going to finish this with this idea about how to pray. Now look at what he says here in this passage, because towards the end of it, he says, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Sometimes I think that describes us in our prayer life. We think that our prayers are heard because of the amount of words that we say in our prayer. I remember one time I was invited by the city to have a prayer at a dedication of a bridge here in Altoona. And I readily accepted that. And, you know, I actually wrote it down and wrote out this nice prayer of dedication. And I stood up there at the dedication and I prayed the prayer and I said amen. And I went and sat down. I sat down next to a lady that I had not met. I did not know her. And she leaned over to me and she said, that was awful short. You know, I wish she was here this morning, because that's exactly the kind of person that I'm talking to. Those of us that feel that way, that we feel like that we're going to sneak up on God and we're going to bombard him with a lot of words, and then we're going to sneak in some kind of request that we hope that he will respond to. Jesus is saying here that that's not what prayer is all about. It's not about the amount of words. Don't pray and just keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Jesus here teaches us how to pray. So listen, folks, really pay attention to this, because this is so very important. Because you know what I think? I think most of us really want to learn this. I mean, there's some of us here, we've been in the kingdom of God for a long time. You know, we've been coming to church forever. We've been in small groups and Sunday school classes for forever. You know, we've listened to sermon after sermon after sermon. And maybe some of you are here today and you think, okay, Pastor John's going to talk about prayer. I don't even need to pay attention today. I know everything that I need to know about prayer. Well, maybe not. Because Jesus here is going to teach us not just about when we pray or where we pray or who we pray to, but he's going to give us some teaching here about literally how to pray. So let me give you Jesus' points here. First thing is that Jesus tells us not to focus on many words, but on the one who hears. You know, we said this last week, the most important part of prayer is how we view God, how we address God. The most important thing about your prayer life, my prayer life, is not the specific words we use. Prayer is more about him than it is about any issue that we're dealing with. Jesus reveals that to us here when he says these things, and later in his model prayer that God as Father and King over a kingdom should be reverenced, should be worshiped before our needs are ever mentioned. He encourages people to stop this mindless chatter and quit thinking that we will be heard because of the amount of our speech. Now, have you ever done this? I will admit that I've actually done this. I've talked to my kids on the phone. And I remember one day I was sitting at the computer and I was doing something. I was talking to one of my kids, and it's like I needed to get someplace on my computer. And I just laid the phone down and I got where I needed to get on the computer, and then I picked it back up and hadn't missed a thing. Sometimes I think we're that way with God. We just talking, and we think that God is just listening, making a list of what we need, what we want, and when we want it. But Jesus here is telling us, listen, don't get caught up in this idea that the how to pray, that the most important thing of how to pray is that we just do it. When the Bible says to pray without ceasing, he's not saying to never stop talking. But he's talking about understanding whose presence you're in. You see, he encourages people to stop this mindless chatter. It is so important that we in prayer remember who he is, what he can do, what he has done, and what he's promised to do for us in the future. And when we stop and express that kind of value, that kind of worth to God, then really our desires and our needs pale in comparison to who we see he really is. Here, let me show you how important this is. We know it as the model prayer. It's the passage right after this particular, starting in verse number 9. Jesus gives the model prayer. And in that model prayer, he gets to a point and he says, give us. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times that's where we start? I mean, there's some of us here today that all of our prayers are about give us. You know, God, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I deserve. But notice in Jesus' model prayer, he doesn't start with the give us. He starts somewhere else. See, down in the verse, he says, give us today our daily bread. After he says, forgive us our sins. Forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation. I mean, we know that. But notice what he says before he gets to the give us part. He says, our Father. You see, when you pray, the how to pray, the first thing that you need to do is to recognize who you're speaking to. This is your Heavenly Father who loves you, who created you in His image, and who has promised to be with you all the days of your life. Our Father in heaven. That we recognize that God is greater than, that God is above this time and space that we have here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your name. In other words, that we recognize that God's name is holy, that God's name is sacred. Like we said before, that, you know, Yahweh, that God is always the present one. He was, he is to come, or he will be. He was in the past, he is in the present, and he will be in the future. He is the ever-present, present one. Your kingdom come. You know, desire not for what you want to do or accomplish, but that you want God's kingdom to rule in this earth. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that we desire God's perfect existence to be a reality here. That when we look around and we think about the world and the condition of society, that we desire before God gives us what we need, want, or desire, that we recognize His Lordship, that He is our Father, that He's our Father in heaven, that His name is and should be holy, and that we want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then He says, give us this day our daily bread. You see, folks, it all starts with understanding who God is and who He wants to be for us. Now, here's the second thing that I think Jesus teaches us, and I hope you get this in a really big way. Jesus basically says, when He's teaching us here about prayer, that we need to get to the point. I mean, have you ever had this experience in you know, we do this. Those of you that are husbands here, we do this all the time. You know, we try to sneak up on our wife with information that maybe we're a little bit hesitant to share. You know, and we you know, we're talking about, you know, this and that and the other thing, and then we throw this thing in. You know, I remember one time here on a Sunday, I'd forgotten to say to Arlene that the Sunday night football group was going to come to our house, and it wasn't mentioned at church, and so we got home, and it's like that afternoon, and you know, I'm like talking to Arlene, and I'm talking to her about, you know, how much I appreciate her and how wonderful she is and all these things, and you know, by the way, 20 guys are coming over tonight, wait just a minute. You know, sometimes I think we do that with God. You know, we try to give him, we try to beat around the bush, we try to talk about all this kind of stuff, and then we're like, by the way, God, I really need help in this, with this, because of this. And Jesus here tells us that really we just need to get to the point. I mean, think about this. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before going to the cross, he humbled himself, and he prayed a simple but yet profound prayer. He bowed down on his knees. It says that he went a little farther away from them, and he got on his knees, and he prayed to God. And what was his prayer? His prayer was simply this: Father, if there's another way, but not my will, but your will be done. He got to the point. Father, if there is another way, if there's a different road that we can take, if there's something else that you can do or that I can do that will not require the crucifixion, the death on the cross, the misery and the suffering that he knew that he was about to go through, you know, God, if there's another way, yet not my will, but your will be done. You see, folks, Jesus had a way of teaching us how important it is that we just get to the point. We should keep this in mind. You know why? Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows our needs more than we know our needs. We can pray with childlike simplicity, without hesitation, and without pretense. Just literally get to the point. I think we need to be like the little guy I read about one time. He's in church. He's acting up. He's really getting his mother exasperated. And she had warned him, and she had told him, you know, you keep this up, I'm going to take you out of here. And he didn't. And finally, she picks him up, and she's taking him out the back door, wherever parents take kids that are acting up in church nowadays. And the little boy was overheard saying to the whole congregation as he went down the aisle, "Please pray for me." That was all he said. He just got to the point, okay? He knew that something bad was coming and that he needed some help. Folks, when you pray, trust that God is good. Trust that God is present. Trust that God is able to help. Do you believe that? God is good. God is present. God is able to help. And surrendering to God, all that we are, all that we have, great and small, is not only something that's beautiful, but it's necessary for all believers. Now let me show you a couple of passages here that I think teach this in a wonderful way. First one is our text, Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 11. Okay? Because it gets to the point in the model prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, after he prays about God and who he is and how great he is, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for the sins that we commit and also those that sin against us. And then he says, lead us not into temptation. Okay? In other words, he gets to the point, but he understands that as he gets to the point that God is good, God is present, God is able. And because he's good and present and able, he wants us to just share with him in simplistic terms what it is we need in life. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 teaches us this as well. When he tells us that he prays, that's the passage where he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays and says, Father, if it is your will, yet not my will, but yours be done. In other words, Jesus gets to the point. Why was he able to get to the point? Because he knew that God is good, God is present, God is able. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 tell us that we should submit to him, that we should resist the devil, that we should draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Why? That's a simple message, but it's because we understand that he's good, that he's present, that he's able. Let me show you a passage of scripture from Ecclesiastes. I want to read it to you because I'd never read this passage of scripture from this context before. When I read this week, it really was neat. Look at what it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Listen to what it says. It says, "Be not rash with your mouth." Now, we all understand what that means, right? I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God." In other words, listen, catch yourself before you start running your mouth, even before God. Look what it says. "For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Don't try to impress God by your amount of words or by what you think you know or any of that. What's most impressive to God is a childlike faith who understands that the most important thing about prayer is not your desires, but the God that you're praying to. Who says, "Listen, I know you better than you know yourself, so when you come into my presence, don't try to impress me with the amount of words, but get to the point and tell me what you really need and what you really desire in life." And I think the reason that this is important is simply because this is the way God wants us to come to him. And you know what? I know we all know the Lord's Prayer, right? I mean, we all know the Lord's Prayer. You know, I think it's better if you recognize this passage of Scripture not as the Lord's Prayer. Now, listen, I'm not advocating that we change the name of it. I know that probably your Bible says the Lord's Prayer. We always refer it to the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? More than it being his prayer, it's his model prayer for us. It's really the disciples' prayer, because in it we're reminded how to pray. We're reminded how to approach God. We're reminded how to worship God in this way and how we should be open and honest with him about our needs, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. It is very appropriate and healthy for believers to take this proper stance in prayer. Because what Jesus is doing here is he's teaching us how to pray. Think about it, folks. Prayer, this kind of simplistic prayer, it aligns our heart with his heart. It aligns our inadequacies with his abilities or with his sufficiency. It aligns our desire with his perfect will. And it helps us to understand how awesome and how glorious he is. You know, many years ago, when I was a student at Johnson University, I had a weekend ministry before Arlene and I got married, and really after we got married for a while. And I would travel back up to my hometown every weekend. I'd work at my home church. I even preached at a couple of little churches out in the country. And then I'd go back to school and go to class all week. And sometimes when I get back to school after a weekend, you know, of traveling, you know, it's 117 miles one way to my home and then back. And, you know, I was just tired. And you know how that is when you're in college. And then I had a 7 a.m. history class. I don't know who invented that. It was a bad idea. But I had a 7 o'clock history class the next day. And some days I would get up, man, I was just so dragging. I was just so tired, and, you know, long weekend, driving back and forth, all this thing, you know. And I would go to this class, and I would just be so tired. And I'm not telling you that I would be sleeping in this class, but I would be resting my eyes. Did you do this? I remember, you know, not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes, right? And I had a good friend that was in that class with me. Kurt was his name. And every class, Dr. Fife, that was the professor, one of the most learned, I mean, he had two or three earned PhDs. I mean, just smartest person you'd ever want to be around. Just awesome. And he would start the class the same way every day. He would ask somebody, one of the students, to pray. And I was in there that Monday, and I was kind of tired from the weekend. And my buddy, Kurt Parker, who's still a minister down in Florida, he kind of poked me awake, and he said, John, he asked you to pray. And I remember I rose to my feet, and I said, Dear Lord, dear God in heaven, bless us, your children, as we strive to further our education today under this learned and blessed man. And I just said the most eloquent, most beautiful prayer that you could ever imagine. And I was standing there, and I finished, and I said amen. And I opened my eyes, and Dr. Fife, that was his name, he was standing in front of me, and he said this to me. He said, Thank you, Judy. That was a very nice prayer. Now, Judy was another student in the class whom he had asked to pray. And my buddy thought it'd be cute. He poked me and said, John, he asked you to pray. And I rose to my feet and I said the most eloquent prayer that I could ever imagine. And from that day on, whenever I saw that professor, I was instantly embarrassed. I mean, I was instantly embarrassed to be in his presence. From that day forward, when I was ever around my friend Kurt, and if he was to get on the internet today and listen to this message, I'll just say it for him right now. I said, Kurt, I will kill you for doing that to me. Okay. And you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, that was exactly what Jesus is talking about. When you pray, don't jump to your feet and stand on the street corner like the hypocrites. Don't jump to your feet and in many words babble on like the pagans, like those that don't believe, but just with simplicity. Pour out your heart and your desire. Get to the point with God and get to know Him in such a way that if He answers your prayers, it is awesome. And if your prayers are not answered because you have a relationship with this infinite, wonderful, benevolent being, and because you understand that He is good, that He is present, that He is able, that it is going to be a wonderful experience that you have in Him. You see, folks, to be alone with God that way and to understand His glory and His power and His kingdom and His desire to love and to care about you, that's what prayer is really about. And prayer should be used to align ourselves with a holy and a righteous God, not to desire to make Him into who we want Him to be. You see, humility in prayer not only invites His grace, but it puts us in this beautiful, wonderful mindset to rest in Him and then to get up and to approach life with the reality that maybe we don't have it all together, but we don't have to because we have Him to see us through. That's how we pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, what a wonderful privilege it is to bow our heads and to seek your face. God, may we never take that for granted. May we never take for granted, Lord, the invitation and the opportunity to share our heart, Lord, with a loving Heavenly Father. So, Lord, I pray that every person in this room today would understand that kind of how to pray. Lord, that we wouldn't try to impress you with the amount of words or with our vocabulary, but just from a heartfelt desire to be in your presence, Lord, may we just get to the point and seek you, Lord, each and every day that you give us. God, we thank you for loving us and for caring about us that way. And Lord, give us this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to just through humility and grace speak to you, Lord, as a child speaks to a loving father. May it be so. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.